We are on Samach Samach Aleph Amid Beis in the Schattenstein at 61B1, second column. In the other Gemaras is the first of the wide lines. Samach Aleph Amid Beis, first of the wide lines, where it says Rabbi Eliezer Eimer. Okay? So, the Gemara, in the Mishnah it said it then, yeah, the seven jobs that a woman has to do for the husband. But if she brings in one maidservant, she cuts out certain things, two certain things, three certain things. Four, if she brings a maidservant, the chamim hold, she sits there and looks at the walls. She doesn't do anything. But Lazar says, no. Even if she brings in 100 servants, she has to do something because doing nothing makes you crazy. Okay? That's what the Gemara says, like this. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Eimer, Rabbi Eliezer said in the Mishnah, even if she brings in 100 shvachis, she still has to do work. Why? Because it brings it to craziness. Okay? Or, that was the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer says, brings it to lewdness, to adultery and all these things. Amar Rav Malkiyei, this is a very interesting Gemara. We're going to talk about a name, Malkiyei. Amar Rav Malkiyei, Amar Rav Adam Barava, Halachik Rabbi Eliezer. So Rav Malkiyei, said the name of Rav Adam Barava, the Halachik Rabbi Eliezer, that no matter how many maidservants she brings in, she still has to work. So now the Gemara is going to discuss, there's two rabbis in the Gemara. There was Rabbi Malkiyei, and Rabbi Malkiyei. They sound very similar. So the Gemara is going to say, when do you know which one's which? Don't forget, it was all by heart in those days. So the Gemara says like this. Amar Chanina b'reid Ravika, Rav Chanina, the son of Ravika, said the following. The din of Shvud, Shvachis, Gumis, these three halachis, Rav Malkiyei, was authored by Malkiyei. The case of Blurius, Efer, Miklo, Gvina, Rav Malkiyei. It's not like, I mean, the Mephoshim explained what each case is. It's not relevant. He says, these three cases, you should know, are Rav Malkiyei, and the other three cases are Rav Malkiyei. Now, Baba says a little bit different. Masnisin or Masnita, if it's a Mishnah or Braisa, that's Rav Malkiyei. Okay, then it's Rav Malkiyei said it. Shmaitze, if it's regular halacha from the Gemara, Rav Malkiyei said it. So he said very simple. If it's a Mishnah Braise, it's Rav Malkiyei. If it's a Gemara, it's Rav Malkiyei. And the Gemara says, Masnita Malkasa. And what's the proof of it? Because the expression, a statement, a Tana statement, Masnita means a Tana, is a queen, and therefore Malkiyei means queen. So therefore, this is the hint. If you want to remember which one's which, remember Masnita Malka, anything which is Atana, meaning Mishnah Braisa, it's Rav Malkiyei. And the Gemara says, my binah, what's the difference between the two opinions? He said the only difference would be Shvachis, which is a case in the Mishnah, and therefore that would be the difference if Rav Malkiyei said it or Rav Malkiyei said it. That is not relevant. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Rav Shimon Gamliel Eimer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if a man made a vow that she cannot work for him, it's all said in the Mishnah. The Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if a man makes a vow that his wife cannot work for him. Okay? That means, like we said before in the Mishnah, here, if a man makes a vow that his wife cannot work for him, meaning he cannot benefit anything from what his wife does. So, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he has to divorce her, pay her the ksuba. Because for her to sit home doing nothing, because he basically, the husband made a vow, I cannot benefit from her. That means she can't do anything. Right? Because he made a vow. So she's going to go crazy. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if a man makes such a vow, right, he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. Okay, so now the Gemara says, "Hainu Tana Kam," but that's what the first Tana, Rabbi Lazar said, that if a woman cannot stay home and do nothing, right, She has to work. So why is that different than Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? So he said like this. Here's a very interesting answer of the Gemara. Ika, but now the difference was like this. The mitalula begoraisa kitanaisa. A woman who plays with little puppies. Or begoraisa kitanaisa means plays chess. Okay? So therefore like this. Rabbi Elazar said, if a woman does nothing, it's going to bring her to adultery. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if a woman does nothing, it's going to make her insane. Yeah? So you might say, what's the case, the difference between the two? If a woman plays chess, or plays with puppies, puppy-in-law, so then you don't go crazy, because you're busy. But you might come to adultery, because these are not very constructive things. So Gemara says, that's the difference between the two. According to Rabbi Eliezer, which by the way, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, Elazar holds it brings you to adultery. That means even if the woman is going to play with her puppies or play chess, she also cannot stay married to this guy. Right? She has to work. What's interesting, this is the Rashi says about this game. Rashi says like this, V'schek shekeirin ishkakish, which is chess. It's a French word, but in the back it's about, this is where chess, this is brought down. Where is chess alluded to in the Gemara? This Gemara. This is the Gemara in Shas. One Gemara in Shas that alludes to the game of chess. Because the game Rashi says is called ishkakish, whatever it is, in old French, it meant chess. So that's where you find the hint to chess and Shas.
So they play chess? They play
chess
in the old days?
Say Shlomo Melech made chess.
Wow. So they played chess in the old days?
In my days?
The old days. Not your days. The old days.
Old.
Chess is either from Shlomo Melech or the Chinese. Everybody says it. Chinese made it. The Indians made it. Some people say Shlomo Melech made it. Who knows? No, chess is a very old game. Thousands of years. But this is where it's alluded to in the Gemara, the name chess. Okay, next. This upcoming Gemara is going to be very interesting. It speaks about the husband's marital obligations to the wife. So on. We'll see in the Gemara. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. In the previous Mishnah it said that if a man makes a vow that his wife can't work, right? So Rav Shimon Gamliel says he has to divorce her. Because she can't be doing nothing. So now like this. If a man makes a vow that his wife cannot have marital relations with him. Okay? Now, the question over here is, Rashi says one important thing over here. He can forbid her relations with him. But he cannot make a vow that he will not have relations with her. Meaning like this. One of the halachic biblical obligations of a husband to wife is sheira ksusa ve'inasa, like food, clothing, and marital relations. Lo yugra, you cannot take that away. If a man makes a vow that he's not going to keep a mitzvah, he can't do it. You're already pre-sworn from Har Sinai to keep a mitzvah. Right? So therefore the Mishnah says like this. If a guy makes a vow, not that he won't have relations with the wife, because that he can't do. But he says, I will not benefit from my wife in marital relations. Now, how long can the woman go on like this that he has to divorce her? Okay? So we'll see as the Gemara goes. Beishami says, Shtei Shabbos. If the vow is for less than 2 weeks, he doesn't have to divorce her. Because a woman can handle it of no relations for 2 weeks. If it's 1 week, he doesn't have to divorce her. But if it's more than a week, Basil says you have to divorce her. Beishami says if it's more than 2 weeks, he has to divorce her.
He does it himself, and he's divorcing his wife because of what he's doing himself?
Yeah.
It's not the wife's problem, he's doing it.
I understand. But you can't have the wife not having relations, basically.
What about Tayali?
Well, if we're not there, you're jumping the gun.
Oh, we're jumping?
You're jumping the gun.
Just you.
So he's looking for an excuse to divorce his wife.
He can nullify the vow if he wants.
But if the wife made an error, that I understand. But if he's making...
The husband prohibited himself from deriving pleasure from her. Now, it's directed at himself rather than her. It takes effect. Right? But bottom line is, he still can't have relations with her. Right?
If he finds it enjoyable.
Whatever. But he can't have relations with her. So, Beishame says, up to 2 weeks, it's okay. But he still says no, up to a week. Then he says like this. HaTalmidim Yaitim LeTalmateira Shalei Beshus. Years ago, in the Avisi, in the time of the mission, the Gemara, guys got married, and they left. Mamish way after the Chasana, they left. They want to learn. Okay, out of town. So it says like this. Talmidim, students, Yaitim LeTalmateira Shalei Beshus. They can go even without their wife's permission. For Shlei Shemayim, 30 days. Okay? In other words, if they're going to study Torah, they don't need the wife's permission to go, they can just go. Poyalim, workers, can only go for 1 week. Okay? Meaning, he comes home, so then, as the Gemara is going to explain, if he's home, he has to have relations twice a week. We'll see exactly what the Gemara is. The Mishnah is going to continue all this. But if he goes out of town, he can go out of town for a week. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Ha'ayna amore b'teira. Rashi, by the way, says this in Vayishlach. When Yaakov was sending the gift to Esav, the males and the females. So Rashi says in Vayishlach, from here we learn out how often husbands have to have relations with the wife.
From the animals.
From the animals. Yeah. But the Gemara, let's see the Gemara. It says like this. Tayolim, and the Gemara is going to explain what Tayolim means. Meaning healthy, regular guys that are home a whole week, b'chol yom every day. Perlim, workers, twice a week. Chamorim, donkey drivers, once a week. Hagmalim, camel drivers, achas l'shleishim yom, 30 days. Once in 30 days. Safonim, sailors, once in 6 months. Okay? Divid Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, this is what Rabbi Eliezer says. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what's going on over here, okay? But bottom line is, the Mishnah is saying that the people that are home a whole week and strong and healthy and not working and anything every day, workers twice a week, the other people once a week. Okay, what's the issue over here? They would be away for 6 days at a time. In other words, these people, because they had those jobs, that's the amount of time they were away. So donkey drivers carrying loads used the customers to be away for 6 days. Camel drivers would be away 30 days. Ship guys, seamen, would be away for 6 months.
Still are. Huh? The military, the sailors, and they
yeah, the sailors and all that.
Yeah. 6 month deployment.
100%.
Yeah, but they go to ports. They go a lot of ports.
Yeah.
So they
have a lot of wives.
They do their thing in other ports.
Their wives?
No, otherwise.
No. They leave their wives for 6 months. Then they go.
Okay.
There is no machlok at none of this, right?
No.
It's a mission.
The Mishnah, everybody. Well, it says Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. We'll see later what that means. The Mishnah called Divrei Rabbi Eliezer doesn't say everybody. Okay. So now the Gemara says like this. Beishame says a woman can handle it 2 weeks, and Beisilah says 1 week. Right? So the Gemara said, where do they learn that from? In other words, where do we find a case that they're separated for 1 week or for 2 weeks? So it says like this. My time in the Beishame, Gomrim, Yoledes Nekeva. It says, when a woman gives birth to a female, yeah, how long is she Tame? 2 weeks. So we see, there's times the Torah says, you're not together for 2 weeks. Beis Hillel, Gomrim, Yoledes Zachar. Basila, so why are you living off from your letters in the cave? It has 2 weeks. Your letter Zachar is 1 week. That's not applying today, by the way. But in biblical times, a woman gave birth to a boy, she was tummy only 7 days. A woman gave birth to a girl, she was tummy for 2 weeks. So Bishamay says, we see from the fact that 2 weeks, that they're not together, so we see a woman can handle it for 2 weeks. Bishelo says, no, we go by what, by a boy. Okay? Now, so the Gemara says, so why, the Gemara asks the question, so why does Basilil learn from a boy, not from a girl? Well, Basilil, Nami Nigmar Mi Letus Nekeva, because, here, we're trying to figure out how long a woman could be without relations.
Maximum.
Yeah. So why is Basilil saying 1 week because of a boy, say 2 weeks and a girl? That also happens, by the way, 50% of the time, but it depends by whom. 50% of the time, you give birth to one or another. So he says like this. So my answer is, you're right. He's not learning it out from Yoledes. Imi Yoledes, Gamna Hachanami. The Gemara says, if Basil would learn it out like you just said from giving birth to a boy, you'd be right. Why is he learning from a boy? Learn from a girl. But Basil may need the Gamnina lay. Basil learns it from the din of Anida. Marital relations are forbidden for a week. I mean, I have to explain this before we go further. Today we don't do what was done in the olden days. Okay? I mean, the Gemara talks about that. Okay. A woman who's in Nida, okay, biblical, not today. A woman's in Nida, it's tummy 7 days, she goes to the mikveh, she's with her husband. Okay? There's no such thing as 7 clean days. It didn't exist biblically by a Nida. Okay? Nida, 7 days, she's tummy, goes to the mikveh, she's back with the husband. No matter what's going on. Then there's something called Zava. It's the same thing as Nida, but it's just a different time of the month. Again, that's where all the complication comes in. If a woman sees Dam 1 day, she waits a day, goes to the mikveh. She sees 2 days, waits again, goes to the mikveh. If she sees 3 days, it's called Zava Gedela, then she has to wait 7 clean days. She needs to have 7 clean days. So this whole din that a woman needs 7 clean days like we do today is really a din of a zava, not nida. Nida biblically, after a week, okay. But the question is, we don't know who's a zava or a nida. Okay? Because it says like this, between nida and nida is 11 days. So if there's within that day she's nida, after, I mean before, it's very complicated. The Gemara says, so therefore the women today, I mean, just going back in the time of the Gemara, okay? They said the women today treat Nida like Zava, and therefore you need 7 clean days, and therefore you're able to go to the mikveh. Okay? Coming back to our Gemara, Basilil says, where do we see a woman waiting from the husband on a regular basis, so to speak, in Nida? How long is Nida? A week. So Basilil says, therefore it's a week. I'm not learning out from your letters. Bishamay says you learn it out from your ledis, which is maximum amount of time of 2 weeks. So Bishamay says, you see, she can handle 2 weeks without it. But Basilil says, no, well, I'm not learning it out from your ledis. I'm learning out from Nida. Nida 7 days. So the Gemara says like this.
I don't understand.
What?
But it's 2 weeks. When they say 2 weeks, it's not for Nida?
No, it's for your ledis. Biblically, yeah, by your letters is 2 weeks. Doesn't matter how long she sees.
And then he, what is it? Bishamay is also 2 weeks?
Bishamay is by Nekev, it's 2 weeks, yeah. By Zachar is 1 week, she's tummy, then she goes to the mikveh, right?
In the Torah it says.
And then, by the beginning of Parsha it says, yeah.
So Bishamay also says 2 weeks?
By Nekev, yeah.
Both of them, they say 2 weeks?
The Torah says, one boy, a boy, you wait a week until she goes to the mikveh. Girl, 2 weeks. So Beishamay says, where do we find in Torah men and women separated? For how long? 2 weeks. Whereby in the cave? Okay? Beisil says a week. So Gemara says, why don't you learn out, if you're learning out from giving birth, learn it also 2 weeks. He said, I'm not learning out from giving birth. I'm learning out from a regular nida status. A woman whose nida is a week, tamei, and that's it? And she goes to the mikveh? Right? So on a general, normal basis, how long is the husband and wife separated?
7 days.
7 days? So it's 7 days.
Both agree, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, about this?
The what?
But the nida, not violated.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody agrees.
Torah says.
Oh, sorry.
It was after Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, by the way, the Jewish girls started being machmen themselves. Okay, so now the Gemara says, B'mai kemafligi. Why does Beit Shammai learn it out from Yoledes? And why did Beit Hillel learn it out from Nida? So Gemara says, Marsa v'Hillel holds, Beit Hillel holds, Mida d'shchiach, Mida d'shchiach. A vow of abstinence, right? You learn out from something common. What's common? Nida. Yoledes is not common, it's once a year. Even if you have kids every year, it's once a year. But Nida is a regular basis. Well, Marsa v'Beit Shammai says, no. Why should you count from Nida? Okay, Nida has nothing to do with the husband. Right? Having a baby does. He created the child too. So Beit Shammai says, why should I learn out from Nida? Let me learn out from his vow, which he makes, from something that he does, having a baby. He created the baby, obviously. He made her pregnant. So that's what Beit Shammai Savar. We learn out something that he caused, meaning a vow is something that he made. Okay? From something that he caused, meaning the birth of a child. Because obviously it's caused by him. Okay? Nida has nothing to do with the husband. Nida is only something that has to do with the woman. So, it's the same. Okay. Now, Amar Rav, Rav said like this. Machlek is this argument between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. If it's a week or 2 weeks, yeah, is only b'mefarish. Mefarish means when the guy actually made a vow for a week or 2 weeks. He said clearly how long his vow is going to be for. But b'stam, if he didn't make, he just made a vow. She can never have enough from relations. Divri Hakel, everybody, both Bishambi, Silul hold, Yaitil Alter, he thinks so he has to divorce her right away. That's what Rav holds. Okay? Rav says like this, because he doesn't say how long the vow is going to be, yeah, she can't handle it already, and therefore he has to divorce her. If Basil, this is what Rav holds, if a guy says a week, 2 weeks, so she can handle it. But if he says indefinitely, basically, yeah, she can get divorced right away. In other words, because he's going to have to divorce her anyway after a week or two, so why do you keep it tortured? Just divorce her now and give her the ksuv, let her be free. But Shmuel Amar, no. Shmuel says, afilu b'stam nami yamtin. Even if a guy just made a vow, so to speak, indefinitely, that his wife cannot have relations with him, you also do it. Wait a week or two. Then divorce her. Why? Maybe he'll be able to nullify the vow by finding a loophole to get out of the vow. So in other words, like this. Rav says he makes a vow indefinitely, you have to divorce her right away. Because it's torture already for her. Shmuel says no. Even if it's indefinitely, but maybe he'll find a loophole to get out of the neder. So why are you divorcing her right away? After a week, or after 2 weeks, nothing happened, divorce her. But why do you have to divorce her right away?
He didn't be ferush, he didn't say like the time,
and right.
Still wait 1 or 2 weeks.
Right. Okay, now Gemara says like this. So Gemara asks, why is Rav and Shmuel arguing in this case? Gemara says, "Pliga b'chadazimna." They already argued about this case, a similar case. What's the case? Tanan, it's a mission like this. If a guy makes a vow that his wife cannot benefit from him at all. Yeah? So we learned. Marital relations, he still has to give her. Because he's obligated. But food, he can't give her. Because he made a vow that she can't benefit from him. So what's he supposed to do? So it says like this. Yamid Parnas, he should set up a steward, meaning a caretaker to support her, up to 30 days. Yaisimikam, more than that, yaitvi eating ksuba. Let him give it the ksuba. Why over there a vow is different? The vow, a normal vow is 30 days. Okay? So if a guy said, I'm making a vow, my wife cannot benefit from me, so obviously marital relations he has to give her. But he can't give her food and money, so he should put somebody else to give her the stuff. Ahmed Avinav said, just think of our case. This is only when he made a time 30 days. But if he made just a stam, meaning he made a vow, she can never benefit from him. He has to divorce her right away and give her the ksuba. Even stam, you don't divorce right away. After a month, then you divorce her, but not right away. Shema yimsa pesachal nidah. Maybe he'll find a loophole to get out of the vow. Right? So L'chei, the Gemara is asking the same machlekes we have by Tashmish with Nida, right? Week, or if he says the time or not. We find the same din in a similar Mishnah. The same argument, Rav and Shmuel. So why did he need to argue in both cases? Both by a vow of money and by a vow of Tashmish. So Gemara says, Tzricha, we need both. The Itmid Boha, if it only be in the case about marital relations, then I think Rav would say you have to divorce her right away. Why? Mishum delay after Bepanis. She can't have marital relations through a steward. There's no choice. Right? So by Nida, Rav says, listen, you make a vow indefinitely, you have to divorce her right away. Well, what are you gonna do? You can't do anything else. But the case of Parnasa, Efshe Bepan, why do you have to divorce? I would think. Rav would say, why do you have to divorce her right away? Have a guy appointed to give her money. At least she'll be supported. And I would think, made Leila Shmuel, that you don't have to divorce right away. So Rav says, no, even in the case of marital relations, you have to divorce right away. Even in the case of Parnas, you have to divorce right away. Because even though he could put a guy in charge, but Rav says, no, you have to divorce her right away. If you'd only say the case of the money, I would think Shmuel, that's when Shmuel says that you don't have to divorce right away because you can give her a steward. But by marital relations, where there's no other way of doing it, I would think he admits to Rav that by marital relations, if you do it, stop, you have to divorce her right away. So we need both cases. Meaning like this. There's the case of marital relations and the case of Parnasa. Right? Both cases, the husband makes a vow. So by marital relations, the same argument Rav and Shmuel. Rav says if he makes his stam, no amount of time, he has to divorce her right away. Right? Shmuel says no, you give her a week or two. But the Gemara has the same argument we find by Parnasa. He makes a vow not to give her Parnasa, right? So up to 30 days, it's okay. What happens? He says, stam. So Rav says he has to divorce her right away. And Shmuel says, why? Up to 30 days, Rav says, because maybe he'll give her a steward to give her money. Right? But you can't have a case of marital relations giving the wife anything. So we need both cases. But the bottom line is, in both cases of the vows, you know, if it's a set amount of time, then you do what the Mishnah says. If it's stam, he makes a vow stam. So Rav holds, in both cases, you divorce the wife right away. Shmuel says, no, you wait a week or two or 30 days, and then you have to divorce him. Okay, now the Gemara is going to say, it's a good thing no women are at this class. Okay, that's for sure. A Talmidim in the Mishnah said like this. Talmidim could go out, what we just learned in the Mishnah, right? Talmidim could go out without permission for 30 days. Correct? Go out, but he doesn't even have to ask his wife permission. Right? He could just get married, leave. Okay? In fact, the Gemara tells a story, Rav Shimon Yochai, when he got married. Rav Shimon Yochai himself, yeah. He got married, and one of the Tanoim came to the wedding, he said, I'm leaving right away to go back to yeshiva. So Rav Shimon Yochai said to him, wait until tomorrow morning, I'll go back with you to yeshiva. He said, no, I can't wait. I'm going now. But even then, they used to leave right away. Okay, so the Gemara says, but Bishus Kama, and if he gets permission, how much time can he leave for? Okay? Right? So Gemara says, what are you asking me if he has permission? Kama the boy, as much as he wants. If he has permission for a year, it's a year. I mean, what's your question? The Mishnah said, a guy wants to go out to learn Torah without his wife's permission, he can go for 30 days. And if he has permission, so Gemara says, what do you mean, what? If he has permission, as long as he gets permission, he can go.
Well, even maybe that is also limited.
Well, it's whatever they.
One minute. So it means, so now the Gemara clarifies the question. Orcha de milsa kama, what's the normal amount of time? You're right. If he has permission for 10 years, he has 10 years. We'll see soon, the Mepharshim talk. Rabbi Kiva, right, left his wife for 24 years. He had permission, he left for 24 years. Right, so what's the Gemara's question? How much?
But do you really think that his wife said, okay, you can go for 24 years? You really think so?
Yeah.
But he already had children at that time.
Remember Kiva's wife? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not seeing him for 24 years?
No, first was 12 years. She says, I hope he stays away another 10, 12 years. Come on, you can't fight that way. Okay, but the Gemara says like this. Okay, next page. But the Gemara's question is, Urcha de Milson, how much is normal for a husband to go away with permission? That's the Gemara's question. Not how long you're allowed to go, as much as give him permission, you know, you can go. The Gemara's question, what is considered normal amount of time? So, Amar Av Chedish, Amar Av Rav said like this. Chedish Kan, V'Chedish Babayis. He said, normal is 1 month home, 1 month in yeshiva. 1 month, that's the other way. 1 month in yeshiva, 1 month home. 1 month yeshiva, 1 month home. So now, but where do we see this concept? That a month home, a month off? It says, L'chod v'amachleikets, to serve the king in all matters of divisions. Who entered the service, it says, Chedesh v'chedesh v'chochot she'ashana. Left month by month in all months of the year. Okay? Meaning like this. 12, it says at the bottom, the whole Megillah here. 12 divisions of Jews served David HaMelech through the year, each one in the month. Okay? So it says over there, he was away for a month, and then he was home for 11 months. The next guy, the same thing. They're home, they're away for a month and home for 11 months. Okay? So therefore, Rav says, the Torah scholar can go away providing he comes back every month. Okay, so now he says, besides that, and so the question, because the end of that pasuk, Rav learns out from the end of the pasuk that there were groups that served a month, went home a month, served a month, went home a month. So Rav said, if by serving David HaMelech's kingdom, they had this concept of month, 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 you know, work a month, home a month, work a... So the same thing, B'nai Teira could do the same thing. So according to Rav, what's reasonable? 1 month home, yeshiva, 1 month home. 1 month yeshiva, 1 month home. Rabbi Yechonon Amar, no. Chedesh kan ushnayim bebeisi. 1 month in yeshiva, 2 months home. Shenama, because it says in the Pasuk, Chedesh shia balvonein, a month to be in Lebanon, shnayim chadoshim bebeisi. What's the case over there? So he brings on again, Rashi, from Rashi brings on like this. Shlema Melech, when he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, so Lebanon had very fine
cedar trees,
and Levanin, Adir, Balvanin, Yiske. So what he did is like this. Shlomo HaMelech sent 30,000 Jews to work in Lebanon to get the raw materials for the Beis HaMikdash. Each shift worked 1 month, stayed home for two. So you see from Shlomo Melech that they didn't go away for month, 2 months, 1 month work, 2 months home, 1 month. So he says the same thing as by Torah. By Torah they go 1 month learning, 1 month home, 1 month learning, 1 month. I mean, that's what Rava. Rabbi Yechon says, you see the same thing by Torah. 1 month work, yeshiva, 2 months home. 1 month yeshiva, 2 months home. 1 month yeshiva, 2 months home. Okay, so the parallel is interesting. Rav brings a pasuk that says like him, month and a month. And Rabbi Yechon brings a pasuk that says 1 month yeshiva, 2 months home. Right?
You're not talking about the yeshiva.
Yeah, but if by work they could do it for learning, for sure for learning. But now the Gemara is going to ask, why doesn't Rav learn like the Rabbi Yechon's pasuk that says 2 months home? And why doesn't Rabbi Yechon learn like Rav's pasuk? The parable is two psukim, right? One pasuk says one job was 1 month and 1 month, and the other pasuk says the job was 1 month and 2 months, right? So Rav says like the pasuk that says a month yeshiva, a month home, a month yeshiva, a month home. Rabbi Yechon says no, a month yeshiva, 2 months home, a month yeshiva, 2 months. So he said, why aren't they learning each other's psukim? He says, Rav, nami my timer le'amer me'ahi. Why doesn't the Rav learn the Rabbi Yechon in 1 month yeshiva, 2 months home? He says, shani beis amigdash dafsha idei achedim. Because over there, building the base of Migdash, you know why they're home for 2 months? Because they had other workers. But he can learn Torah, right? But he calls about him learning Torah, right? If he has to learn Torah, he can be away for 2 months at home. Has to learn Torah.
What was the first case they were doing? What they were doing the first month?
Serving the king.
Serving the king.
Hey, wait, are cutting trees down in Lebanon?
They're cutting trees, making them into beams.
Serving the king also, there is no other people available?
1 second. Why does Rabbi Yechon learn like Rav the month to month? He says, Shani Asim Disle Avocha. Because over there, the guy that worked for the king got paid well. So over there, the Gemara is going to discuss this in a second. So over there, the wife didn't care if he was away a month and a month and a month and a month. By David and Melch, when they worked for the king, right? They worked a month, home a month. Worked a month, home a month, yeah? Over there, the wife didn't care because she got good money. It wasn't the Beis Hamikdash, it was voluntary. Working for David and Melch, they got paid. And they got paid well. Because they were away from home, right? So over there, the wife would be happy. 10,000. So over there was a month and a month and a month. But when it comes to learning Torah, the wife wants him home. So therefore, Rabbi Yechon says, by learning, it's a month yeshiva, 2 months home, a month yeshiva, 2 months home.
But it makes sense to say Shlomo HaMelech is so rich, he would pay them even better than David HaMelech. Why you get advantage of them?
Because she gets good profit.
But this isn't that they were serving Shlomo HaMelech, this is that they were working in Lebanon.
Yeah, but Shlomo HaMelech can afford and pay them good.
But the base of Mingdash, somebody wanted to take money.
No. 2 months not working. Not making money 2 months.
No, they were home 2 months.
Oh no, 1 month.
1 month working.
No, one
it was volunteers.
Month. No, 1 month, actually 3 months are not working. Because even the 2 months are home, they're not getting paid.
No, they could have a job at home.
No.
Yeah.
They work in the family store.
Work from home then, those times.
Get a job as a rabbi.
Yeah. In fact, Tesis over here says, and the top Tesis over here, Tesis says, the Gemara says, okay, how long is normal for a husband to go away from home? So Rashi said that should be considered a sin. You know, if the husband's away too long, yeah, he's learning Torah, but it's a sin to be away from your family. So Tesis says, how did Rabbi Kiva and all those people later on in the Gemara go away for so long? So he says over there they didn't have to convince their wives to let him go. The wives were happy that he went. And Rabbi Kiva's wife wanted him to go learn Torah.
He'd been left for 24 years.
She wanted him to go for 24 years. She told him to go for 12. First he went away for 12 years, she sent him. And then when Bikir was coming back, he was right outside his house, he heard the neighbor telling her, you're crazy, you let your husband go for 12 years, who knows if he'll come back. And the daughter, the Rabbi Kiva's wife said, my greatest pleasure would be if he goes away for 12 years, stays away another 12 years and learns Torah. So he turned around, he walked right back, he didn't even say hello.
This doesn't go against the concept of we don't do mitzvot on the cheshbon of other people. I want to learn in Torah and Yeshiva on account of my wife. She has to suffer.
But that's the question, if the wife is maskim or not. That's why the Gemara says, without permission, it's only 30 days. You can't go for more than 30 days without permission. So now the Gemara says, what's considered normal? So Tosfos differentiates if the wife has to be convinced to let him go, or she wants him to go. It's a big difference, by the way.
How is it different?
If the wife has to be convinced to let him go, or the wife wants him to go, go. I'm happy that you're going. So then they can stay away as long as they have to.
But the owner Tashmish is for her, so she can let it go. That's why we
she could be Michael.
She can mock. That's
yeah.
why we're talking.
Oh, that's the din. Oh, yeah. He can't be Michael. Her.
She can mock.
She could be Michael. It's her rights.
Yeah.
So she can give it up. The husband can't give up his wife's rights. That you can't do.
The same other things too, like parnos also from the Torah, right?
Yeah.
If he goes away from
but over there he can set up somebody to feed her.
Otherwise not.
No.
So those three things, kosut and...
Yep.
It's providing he can do this.
There's another issue. The difference, the Gemara says, and we learned this before, so Gemara says, monetary things helps conditions. Food and clothing is monetary. Marital relations is not. So that you can make a condition on. But on financial responsibilities, you can make a condition. That's the big difference. Okay, now, this is coming is very interesting, Gemara, about different things. Okay. Amen, Rav said, because Rav and Abichan argued what the meaning of a pasuk is, the Gemara is bringing down another such argument. Amen, Rav. Anocha shiver is chotzi gufi shel adam. A sigh breaks half the person's body. We'll see what that means. Shenema, because it says in the pasuk, Ba'ata ben Adam, you son of man, hanach sai, b'shivim masnayim, with shattering of the loins, and with bitterness shall you sigh. Okay? Meaning it's the middle of the body, that a sigh breaks the person up to his loins, meaning the lower half of the body. Meaning, like Rashi explains, it means the physical part of the body versus the emotional part of the body. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, it breaks kol gufei shel adam, the physical and emotional level of the person. Shenama, because it says in the pasuk, v'hayu ki yemer elecha amato nenach, if they ask you why you sighing, v'amato yisu, you should say to them, el shmo kiva, the report that is coming, v'nameis kolev, the heart, all the hearts would melt, v'rofa kol yadayim, and all the hands will become weak, all spirits will grow faint, and all knees will become water. Okay? What is this pasuk referring to when the Jews heard that Yerushalayim was destroyed? By the time, you know, again, nothing is overnight mail, texting. Not everybody knew right away Yerushalayim was destroyed. It took time until people heard Yerushalayim was destroyed. So that one pasuk says, it broke half the body, a sigh, and the other pasuk says it breaks the whole body. So again, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan being one, Rav brings a pasuk that a sigh breaks half the body. Rabbi Yochanan brings a pasuk that says a sigh breaks the entire body. Right? Each one has a pasuk backing them up. So why don't they say what the other one says? Rabbi Yechonon Nami Eksiv Shivin Masnaim, it only breaks half the body. Why does Rabbi Yechonon say it breaks the whole body? So he says, no, really it breaks the whole body. Chimascho, when does it begin to break the entire body? It begins from the loins, meaning from the lower parts of the body. But Rav Nami, and Rav says, why are you saying it only ruins the whole body? There's a pasuk that says, no, I'm sorry. Why does Rav say half the body? There's a pasuk that says it broke the whole body. Right, but they heard about Yerushalayim. Says the whole body was destroyed. So Gemara says, Shani Shuma the Beis HaMikdash, the Tkivat Tuv, you're right. But the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was too powerful. That was a real big side that broke the body. Meaning like this. Normally, Rav holds a sai only breaks half the body. Why by the pasuk does it say he broke the whole body? Because that's speaking, they heard about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and that bothered them entirely. See, that's what the Gemara is answering. Okay.
Have nothing to do with what we were talking about before?
I told you, the only reason is another argument, Rav and Yom Rechanan, they each say a statement, they back it up with a pasuk, right? Like, what's normal to go out of the house? A month, or a month and 2 months. So each one has psukim. Same thing over here. Breaks half the body, whole body, each one has psukim. What the Gemara discovered, why the other one doesn't look like the other one. But the Gemara tells the story. A Jew and an idol worshiper walking together on the road. The idol worshiper, now let me see, in the olden times, people liked walking in groups because it was much safer, right? The Jew was walking way ahead of the guy. Okay? And he wanted to stop him. He wanted to slow him down. Right? So he says like this. The idolater couldn't keep pace with the Jew. The Jew was walking too fast for him. To weaken the Jew, he reminded him of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Yeah? He groaned inside, meaning he weakened up. He still couldn't catch up to him. Even though the Jew sighed, meaning it affected him, he walked slower, but he was still quicker than the guy. Amalei, so the guy said to the Jew, Lav Amrisa, don't you guys say, Anocha Sheveres Chati Gufi Shaladam? Don't you guys say it breaks half your body? So how come you're not slowing down? I thought you said, didn't you? Amalei, the Jew said to him, Hani Mili Milsechadete. Worry breaks your body when it's a new thing that you heard. A new problem, the sigh of a new problem weakens you. But the Shanabola, this is the Churban Beis HaMikdash, is old news. Yeah? So yes, I sighed, but he says, the Amri Inchi, this is what the Gemara says, is the expression of people, the Malfativler Libos, one who has learned bereavement, doesn't get shocked by it.
What?
Huh?
What is it?
Bereavement.
Somebody
dies. Huh? No, he says like this. A woman who is accustomed to losing children, and again, long time a lot of people lost children, it doesn't, it's not a shock at the loss of another child.
You get used to it.
You get used to it. So that's what the Jew said to the guy. In other words, the guy tried slowing down the Jew. So he told him about the Beis HaMikdash, he sighed. It still kept going fast. So he said, I don't understand, doesn't it weaken you? He said, only old news weakens, new news weakens us. New tragedy. Old tragedy, it's not the same. Get used to it. Okay.
It shouldn't be like this, yeah?
What?
It shouldn't be like this. Like, you know, Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. Every day is not built. Person has to feel like as today is.
I mean, this is a concept mentioned in Halacha, by the way. The Avelis of the 9 days Tisha B'Av is like losing something. But the Gemara says it's still weaker than a full regular shiva. That God forbid a person's parent dies or something like that. Because over there it's fresh. It's fresh mourning. And really this is the source of it from this Gemara. The Gemara says fresh things are much more powerful than old, you know, old things that you heard. A person's used to it year after year, Tisha B'Av, so you know, it doesn't have the same, doesn't. It doesn't have the same meaning.
Are we talking about the sighing of physical or spiritual?
Physical. A yom recently said, groan doesn't do anything. Stop groaning, go do something. Go do something about it.
By other place, a yom yom says, it's good, it begets the shuva.
It's shuva. But it starts in the groan, but it can't end with the groan. You gotta do something about it. Yeah. Okay, so now the Gemara says this. In the Mishnah it says, Tayolin, the whoever Tayolin, I will say what it is, should be intimate every day. Right? That's what the Mishnah says. So Gemara says, my Tayolin, what's Tayolin mean? Amar Rava b'nei Pirke. Rava says it means kids that learn locally, I mean, not kids, husbands that learn locally, and they come home at night, so they're home every night. So they can be with their wives every night. Amalei Abaye said, 1 minute, there can't be. Because my man, those people that it says in the Pasuk, Shav lachem mashkimi peset, it is vain for you to rise up early, who sit up late, who eat the bread of sorrow, can yit in the day the shena, so he gives Hashem sustenance to your day the shena, okay? The Gemara is going to explain what that means. So Amr Rav Yitzchok said, what is this pasuk referring to? Eilin is Shesem Shal Tamidei Chachamim. It refers to the wives of the scholars. Sheminadr Dei Sheinam Eineim Be'elim Hazeh. Okay? They don't sleep in this world. Why? Because the husbands come home very late from learning. So they stay up late for the husband. And they're very tired. So those women, boys L'chaya L'mabob. Those women go to Olam Abba. Okay? And you're saying... Let me see. Hello? I'm in the middle of a class. Let me call you back. Okay. So he says... So the question is... So Abaye says to him, what do you mean the guys that are home every night? The guys come home very late at night. What do you mean they can be with their wives every night? If Adam and B'nai Pirkin, you say, refers to students that there could be home every night. Elam Abaye says it means something else. What does Tayola mean? Kedrav, like Rav. Damer Rav said, Kegen Avshmul Bashilis. The Gemara says, he taught children Torah. Okay? And that was the source of his income. He was a teacher. The Achav Midideh, he ate his own food. The Shasim Midideh, and he drank his own beverages. The Ganeh B'Tuladandeh, and he slept under his own shelter in his own mansion. Meaning he lived securely at home. To the extent, the Lecholev Pristaka de Malka Bavari. The king's emissary never passed by his gate to collect taxes. Meaning, they didn't consider him wealthy. Okay? Because of that, they never came to get taxes from him. But he was comfortable, he came home at night, and he wasn't, you know, he didn't learn with the kids at night. So he came home at night. Or another interpretation, where it says, Kiyosid Abin, when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Kagayim Mefan Kidim Arovim. Who it is, another interpretation of Tayolim, what does it mean? It means, the fastidious ones of Eretz Yisrael, who take care of their health, meaning they eat and drink and they really take care of themselves. In other words, you know what Tayolim are? People that don't work very hard. So they have strength, they're home, they can take it easy. Those guys are the tayolim that the Mishnah says should be with their wives every night.
What does tayol mean, simply?
Tayol is a, you know, tayol is a guy who goes for a walk.
Tayol.
So first Rav said is yeshiva bachim that stay in yeshiva, I mean the guys, the married guys, stay in yeshiva and go home at night, right? And then the next Abaya says it means the guy like Rav Shimon Bar Shilas. And I still think it's a bunch of guy that eats and drinks and has an easy life. Like in Israel, nobody works. And they all seem to make a living. How they live, nobody knows. Okay, we'll leave it here.
Is it because they are relaxed and they have